So good to be here to share God's word. Chris, thank you so much. I've known this guy for the last 3 years, and we've just had some really good fellowship. We love eating, apparently, and we both love Thai food. So we've been feasting on Thai food for quite a while, and we've been trying to do this for the last several months and just haven't had the chance to get it done. The first time I had something come up, the next time I got sick, and last week I got sick again, so I had a sinus infection, and then it went down to my chest, but I'm still here this morning. So I'm going to ask for you guys to pray for me as I bring the word of God to you. I was talking to somebody this morning. We're talking about just this matter of time and the fact that, you know, you guys are not so conscious of the time. And so I appreciate that because that means we could be here for the next 3 hours. I'm kidding. You know, I grew up in the Caribbean, and we have a propensity to go on for quite a while. In fact, I remember the story growing up of a woman who came to one of our churches in Dominica, and the pastor who preached that morning was very, very, very long, and he went on and on and on, and then the service was so long that people were just having a hard time. Well, the pulpit committee came together and said, we got to do something about this. So in the evening, they actually bought a clock and put it in the front of the place where the pastor would see it. But then something really strange happened. Somebody decided to take the clock down, and instead of the clock, there was a picture of the pastor. So an old little lady in the congregation, she looked up there and she says, oh my God, they've taken down time and they've put up eternity. And despite the fact that I'm born and bred Dominican, I promise you this is not going to be a small eternity this morning. I'm going to be speaking to you from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. And Jesus is at a point in his life where he is just about to head into Jerusalem for the very last time. This is his very last night of his life. He would soon be arrested, betrayed, and then crucified. 11 of his disciples stood with him while Judas had gone to plot his betrayal. His disciples were troubled at his words, for Jesus had just said to them, I'm going to die for the sins of the world. They could not understand, how does the Son of God go to a cross to die? So Thomas spoke for all the disciples in verse 5 when Thomas says, Jesus, what are you doing? What are you talking about dying? We were invested in you not for death but for life. We want to see you live. We want to enjoy life. We want to have prosperity. We want to go on forever doing this. This has been a great gig. Let's keep doing it. Why die? This is something that we're all terrified at, aren't we? We're all terrified of death. You know, Ernest Becker, in his Pulitzer-winning book, The Denial of Death, says that the idea of death, the fear of it, haunts the human animal like nothing else in all of life. Woody Allen, when he was once asked concerning death, he says, I don't worry about death. I just don't want to be there when it happens. We wrestle with this issue of death. We hate to deal with the question of what happens when we come to the end of our lives. But for those who believe in Jesus, for those who trust in Jesus, there's a promise for us here today. And God is going to say to each of us that when we trust his Son, when we put our confidence in Jesus, we don't have to worry about death. The first part of the verse, and I'll turn there now, and you can read with me in verse 1. So Jesus has just told his disciples he's about to die. Everybody's panicking. Everybody's freaking out. He says to them, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and take you to myself, that where I am, there you will also be. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas has always got questions. He's known as Doubting Thomas. He said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Let us pray. Our Father, we pray this morning in Jesus' name that you would speak to every heart here today, that everyone who has questions about your identity, that everyone who has questions about how to live out of the fullness of Christ and all the power that he has attained for us in his death and resurrection. And for everyone, God, who still struggles with beating back the temptations of this life and beating back the trials of this world, that they would find in Jesus today an anchor, a hope, a clarity that only Jesus can give. For as he said himself, he is the way from all the trials of life, from all the difficulties of life, from all the setbacks. He is the truth in which we find freedom and deliverance, and he is the life that we are seeking after. And so I pray today that every heart here today, God, would hear a clear word from you. Do this now in the power of your Spirit, we pray. And all God's people say, amen. So in this text this morning, we're going to see three things from this passage. The first of which is that belief in Jesus Christ frees us from the worries of this world. When we believe in Jesus, when we put our confidence in Jesus, something happens to us. We are liberated. Jesus is just speaking these words to his disciples. And they wanted to remind them that Jesus Christ is not just a man who came to the earth to live, but he was God himself living in the flesh. He said to these people who were terrified, "The God who is with you in the flesh says to you, the God who scrolled time into reality says to you, the God who hangs the stars in space says to you, do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. Let me just pause for a while to ask you, how many of you guys this morning are dealing with something in your life that has brought you this constant sense of fear and anxiety? Just when you feel like life is just about to make a turn, where it just things are just beginning to work well, all of a sudden there's one more thing that is coming from nowhere and it smacks you in the face. Let not your hearts be troubled. The word that John uses, "let," is a call for an active faith. It is a call to actually embrace an active faith in Christ. It is the deep belief in Jesus that leaves us standing strong in the midst of the storm. That whenever life throws us a curveball, we know that that was coming because we have Christ standing with us. That we have a power that is not our own power working on our behalf. And so that is why Jesus was saying to them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Stand in the power that I am. I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life." The Greek word here that he uses is the present imperative. And so what Jesus is really saying is, do not allow trials. Do not allow the storms. Do not allow fear of death to unsettle you from what you know to be true about who I am. I am the way, and if I am the way, I'm going to make a way. I am the truth, and if I am the truth, you're going to find that believing in me is always beneficial. I will lead you to the gates of heaven, and I am the life. If you seek after me, you will find true life. Not just any kind of life, but abundant life. Jesus doesn't want to just give us little life, little bits and pieces here and there. He's going to give you abundant life. He's going to give you life that overflows, life that pours into the streets, life that everybody looks at you and they realize that you are different because you're living out of an abundance. That's the kind of life that Jesus wants to give to us. He wants to let us activate our faith. You see, guys, this morning, God has a promise to each of us, to all of us who put our confidence in him. He says, if you believe in me, Your faith is activated, and you have a power to live life in a glorious way. I will tell you a quick story, and this was actually happened with Chris and I. You probably don't remember this, but when I first came to Bethany Church, Chris took me out to lunch one day. I think we actually went to that same Thai place.
It's cheap.
Yeah, it's cheap and it's good food. So I was just new to the area. My wife and I had just come into town, and we had a debit card from Bank of America that we just started a new checking account. And so I pulled my debit card and I handed it to the lady, and she was going to run it, and didn't work. So I was kind of going like, this is not good, right? The new senior pastor is in town. He's taking the former senior pastor, interim senior pastor, and he flips out his card, and the card doesn't work. That is not looking good. Well, actually, I got home that day, and I called the bank, and I said, something strange happened today. I just tried to use my card, and it didn't work. And the lady on the phone said to me, "Sir, you never called to activate your card." My card was not activated, therefore I couldn't use it. Well, Jesus says to us this morning, you have a card, you have Jesus, but Jesus needs to be activated. And how do we activate that? But through belief. He says we need to believe in Christ. We need to put our confidence in him. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. The word believe here is not just an intellectual assent. It is a deep heart conviction. It is the clarity of purpose that comes in knowing that Jesus has already made the way because Jesus is the way. That Jesus has already spoken the truth because he is the truth. That Jesus has already showed the way to life because he is the life. And when we stand in that conviction, our faith is being activated. Our faith is being poured into reality. And when we meet the trials of life, when we meet anxiety, when we meet with fear, these things are overcome by our conviction and the clarity of our belief that Jesus is taking us through this because he is the way. That is the kind of clarity that he's calling on us to have when it comes to believing in him. He says, believe in God, therefore believe in me. This is in the present active imperative, which means he says, keep believing. Don't stop believing in me. Don't stop believing in God. Keep believing. When times are good, keep believing. When times are hard, keep believing. When you have no answer to the questions of your life, keep believing. When your doctor gives you a diagnosis that says things are not looking good, keep believing. God says we need to keep believing because he is present in the midst of our lives, working all things for our good and for his glory. He says, keep believing. Now, the kind of faith that Jesus is talking about here has two implications. You see, because there are two kinds of faith. There is a faith that is known in theology as general faith. It is the general knowledge that we have about God. For example, we know that God is love. We know that God is powerful. We know that God has a plan for our lives, according to Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. But that's not the kind of faith that we're talking about here. We're not talking about the general faith. We're talking about something different. I read a story about the great Broden. He's the guy who actually invented the High Wire Act. He announced to the world one day that he was going to be going across the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. So more than 5,000 people showed up to watch this. Everybody was excited about this. Halfway across, he suddenly stopped, steadied himself, backflipped into the air, and landed squarely on the rope. And then blindfolded, carrying a stove. Then in chains, then on a bicycle. Just as he was about to begin yet another stunt, this time pushing a wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls, he turned to the crowd and shouted, "Who trusts that I can cross pushing this wheelbarrow? Do it." Everybody raised their hand and said, "Yes, we know you can do it." "Do you trust that I can do it?" he asked. "Yes, I trust that you can do it." Then he called out one man and says, "I want you Can you trust that I can do this? Do you really believe that I can do it? Yes, the man said, you can do it. Absolutely trust? Absolutely trust. Yes, absolutely trust. You can do it. Thank you, said Broden. And then he said, please get into the wheelbarrow. And you know what happened. You know, he believed that Broden could go across the Niagara Falls in a tightrope, but he didn't want to test that proposition himself. Sometimes that is exactly how we act with Jesus. We say, Jesus, we know you're the way, but we don't follow him. We say, we know that you're the truth, but we don't believe him. We know that you're the life, but we're going out to try to find life in every other form except through him. And Jesus confronts this reality in us this morning, this temptation, this tendency that we have to want to declare in propositional form that we believe in Jesus, but we deny him when it comes to the white heat moments of life. When the rubber hits the road, we go scattering. You know, we're like scared, like Godzilla. We are running for our lives. But Jesus says that the faith that we're talking about here is saving faith. It is a deep conviction. It is this intimate conviction. It is this clarity of purpose. It is the word that John uses there is the word gnosko. It is the word that we have for intimate expressions between a man and his wife. It is this beautiful union of life together. It is the experience of knowing that person beyond what everybody else knows about them. There's a way that you know your wife or your husband that the next person doesn't know. He says that is the kind of knowledge that God wants us to have of himself. An intimate knowledge that we have spent so much time in his presence, that we have been so taught by him, that we've been so changed by him, that we know this God, we know his character. So when trials come, we know we can trust him. And that's why he says trust, not just a passing trust, but a strong clarity of purpose kind of trust. Now, part of this is because we grew up in a society told to believing ourselves. We're told, you know, from the time we're children, we're told, you know, believe in yourself. Sometimes this comes down to this rugged individualism, where we just say, you know, we have this way of just doing life on our own. We say, be your own man, make your own way. If we don't, you know, we can do this ourselves. We're going to grab life by the bootstraps, even if we don't have a bootstrap, and we're going to make things happen. Well, that is just vain imagination. And that is not the kind of faith that Jesus wants us to have. He wants us to have a surrendered faith. He wants us to come before him and lay down our priorities and lay down our agenda and lay down our lives and take up our crosses and follow him. Sam Alberry writes that if someone thinks that the gospel somehow slotted into their life quite easily without causing any major adjustment to their lifestyle or aspirations, it is likely that they have not fully started believing in Jesus at all. If we have a conviction about Jesus, if we have belief about Jesus, that allows us to have sort of this accommodation view of Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is great, but so is everything else. We're just going to bounce around life. We'll accept Jesus for who he is, but we also accept everything else. Jesus is not our Lord, is what he's saying. Because when we come to the place where Jesus is Lord, he actually is Lord. He takes over our lives. He takes over everything. And so believing in Jesus must also mean allowing Jesus to shape the way that we're living. When we do not actively believe in Jesus, however, we're easily pushed away by the trials of life. It's sort of like we're like this boat on the sea without a paddle. We're being pushed in one direction or the other. Or it's almost like we're like a car without the handbrakes up. Have you ever seen something like that where somebody leaves their handbrakes down? That actually happened to me one time. I was pulling into the driveway. I pulled up into the driveway and forgot to put the gear stick down. And boy, I had to run back into that car, grab that door, and slam that thing up because that thing was about to run into the street. Well, that's what happens to us sometimes when we are not activated in Christ, when we're not actively engaged in Christ. This is what happens. Our handbrakes are down. And so life is pushing us in all kinds of directions, and we have no clarity about how to live. But Jesus says that we must trust him, that we must put our confidence in him. Look at verse 2 with me. In the next three verses, Jesus tells them why they need to put their trust in him. He says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. In my Father's house are many rooms. Now, what does it mean by many rooms? You know, when I was a new Christian, I heard that verse interpreted as Jesus has a pretty awesome mansion for each person who comes to know him. He has a so that if you came to know Jesus Christ and you lived a life of faithfulness to him, he has a really big mansion for you. And if you really, you know, do very well, you cannot just didn't do, you know, do the Christian life the way you should, well, maybe he's going to have a little house for you, just enough space for you to get in there. That's not what Jesus is saying. That is not what he's saying at all. What Jesus is really pointing at here is that, and by the way, in the King James Version, it says mansion, is the word mansion. But actually, if you actually read this, what he's saying is that there are many dwelling places. So Jesus is saying that there's a room in there, there's a place in the heart of God, there's a place in heaven where all God's people feel welcome, where all God's people feel that everything is well. And part of the reason why that is the case is because Jesus is going to be there. The reason why heaven is going to be beautiful is not because of the fact that the angels are going to be there. That's great. Good to have angels. It's not because they're all the saints of all the ages. It is not because of the streets of gold. It is not because of all of those things. The reason why heaven is going to be glorious is because Jesus, the glorious one, the way, the truth, the life, is going to be there. And that's why heaven is going to be glorious. And so John says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. There's a place for you beside the King of Kings. There's a place for you beside the Lord of Lords. Have you guys seen the advertisement by, I can't remember what company it was, but the guy comes on with the big mustache and he says, you're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it. With that really rustic voice. Who's that? That's Men's Warehouse. That's right. George Zimmer, that's right. Really handsome guy. Well, Jesus is saying, I guarantee it. I guarantee that when you enter the gates of heaven, you're going to be blown away. You are going to be blown away by what you see. 2 years ago, my wife and I went on a little vacation. And we went up to Northern California and took a stop at the Apple Farm Inn. I had found a coupon on Groupon, and I got this hotel for like $100 a night. And so we were thinking, you know, we're going to get there. It's going to be like one of those little places where you're like, oh boy, I don't even want to shower because I don't even know what's going to come out of the water in that thing. Well, we got there, we opened the door, and we're like, whoa, this is incredible. And then we walked into our rooms, and we walked into this, like, massive room, and it's, like, beautiful television and a wireless internet, and the room was, like, unbelievable. And we were like, we couldn't believe it. We got this for $99. You got to be kidding me. How did this happen? I mean, we were, like, running around, jumping on the bed. Like, we could not believe it. We just got a deal. We got a deal. Well, what Jesus is saying to you and I this morning is that when we get to heaven, we're going to have that same expression. We're going to be like, I cannot believe we got here. This is unbelievable. This is better than I was told. This is great. In verse 3, he says, if it were not so, I would not have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. All this was spoken with a suffering in mind, by the way. He is talking about how he is going to, through death, bring them into a life, how he is going to open the gates of life through his own sufferings. And he was at the same time telling his disciples, by the way, you too are going to go through suffering. You're going to suffer in this life. But he says to them, but the sufferings of this present life will not be worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed unto you on that day when you stand before me in my very glory, in the presence of God and of angels and of all saints of all ages and of Christ himself, who is the way, the truth, and the life. When you stand there on that day, you're going to know through. It has been worth it. Every trial that you have faced, every setback that you have gone through, every difficulty that life has taken you through, Jesus says, you will know in that moment that it is worth it when you see him on that day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One look upon his face, all sorrows will erase. So brethren, let us run the race till we see Christ. That is the promise to us who believe in Jesus this morning. And so, we have a hope, we have an anchor for life. And then Jesus says, almost as if to spike the football in the end zone, he says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you will also be. What Jesus is saying is, if I can do the lesser thing, will I not do the greater thing? If I prepare a place for you, will I not come back for you? He's putting his own integrity on the line. He's saying my own character is on the line. I promise you, I will come through for you. And so, what that should do to us, who is give us the bold confidence of those who know a Christ who is truly the way, who is truly truth, and who is life himself. Just like Stephen did in Acts chapter 7, verse 55 through 59. He's about to be stoned to death. His life is about to be taken from him. This man who began his life trying to serve God, trying to preach the gospel, was now encountered by, of all people, a man named Saul. And they stood against Stephen and they stoned him that day. And as Stephen's life was being drained from his body, he looked up. And what does the Bible say? And he saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He had this confidence that earthly trials, that earthly tests, that suffering, that death could not hinder the reality, because it was as if he was standing on one shore, standing on the shore of earth and looking into the shores of heaven, seeing all the glory and seeing Jesus at the right hand of God. And he was like, come on, you can do better. Stone me. I can take more. Bring it on. I know where I'm going. I'm going to be with my Savior this day. This is confidence. This is confidence that the truth of who Jesus is not some convenient thing that we can bother with when it's convenient for us, and then when it's not, we stuff away from it. He says, Jesus means everything to me, and even if my life has been stuffed away from me, I believe and I open my eyes and I see with faith, this is real. This is real. I stood in a hospital bed about 2 years ago with a man who had just become a Christian. He was an atheist for most of his life. And somebody from our church was actually his sister, and they invited me to go speak to him. I began to visit him in the hospital, and the cancer diagnosis was not looking good. Week after week after week, I came. We studied scripture together. He had questions about all kinds of things. I answered his questions. Well, one day, I came to the hospital, and he said, you know what, Pastor Bryant, I'm ready to become a Christian. So I led him to Christ. And then 3 weeks later, I come to visit him. We were just going through the Gospel of John. And he looked at me and said, did you touch me? And I said, well, no, I didn't touch you. I was sitting on the side of the bed and I didn't touch you. He said, but somebody touched me, and he was standing right outside the window, and he was dressed in white. I got to say this. I'm a pastor, but seriously, I was about to freak out. Because suddenly, the atmosphere in the room changed. And I was feeling like this goosebumps, the hairs of my head were like spikes. Like, what in the world's going on? And so I just have this like, you know when you're like in the zone, all of a sudden you're like intrepidated, and all of a sudden you just feel like power boost begins to like vibrate around you, and you're like, I'm just feeling powerful, and I feel like God is in the room. And I start praying and praying and praying. And it dawned on me that Jesus had just made an appearance in the room that day. Because you see, that man would die the next day. And Jesus was basically coming to take his hand and say, it's okay. It's okay. You're going to be with me. And he looked at me with tears in his eyes and he says, what was that? And I said, John, I think you just saw Jesus. And I know for some of you listening to me, you're probably thinking, this guy's crazy. That's exactly what I thought myself. I thought maybe he's on medication. Maybe he's had too much painkillers or whatever. But the truth was that he had seen the living Christ. Jesus had revealed himself to him. Jesus is real. We live in a material world where we feel like everything is material. The truth, guys, is that everything is spiritual. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. Not the opposite. Jesus came and encountered him and said to him, you're coming home with me soon. I want you to know it's going to be okay. And he was holding his hands. Jesus was in that room. And the pastor didn't want to believe it. And so friends, this morning, the claims of Jesus demand our response. In verse 5. Doubting Thomas asked no much the same question that I asked. How could this be? How could this be? He says, how can we know the way? And to this Jesus replied, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus' declaration as the way, the truth and the life are used here as Jewish titles for God. Because you see, in the Jewish custom, in Jewish religion, the three great religious expectations, the three great religious positions was that, or conceptions, was that there was a way and there was a truth and there was a life. And Jesus says, all that you have thought about in your theology and your religion, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He's the way. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 32 to verse 33. Chapter 31 verse 29. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 21. Chapter 35 and verse 8. Psalm 27 verse 11. All speak to this truth that God is the way. And the Jewish person is looking for a way. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The same concept. The way. God's path. The Jewish mind thought around this concept of the path. God says, Jesus is the path. The Jewish person also had this concept of truth. That truth was not some category out there that we had to seek after, but truth was itself a foundational thing, something objective, something that does not change and flutter, something that is what it is in itself. It is basic to the human nature. It is basic to the reality of life. I don't have to go looking for truth. Truth comes looking for me. Truth confronts me. Truth is something that is a reality that is there that I cannot deny. Just like I cannot deny that you are here this morning. And Jesus says, I am the truth. I am undeniably there. And you can deny what you see with your physical eyes. You can deny what you see with your spiritual eyes. But that doesn't change the fact that I am here. He says, I am the truth. But then he says, I am the life. The Jewish person also wants to find life. The concept of life is well-being, longevity, health, prosperity, shalom. Jesus says, I am the life. I am life itself. And so this morning, Jesus says to you and I, look no further but to Jesus for life. Look no further but to Jesus for truth. Look no further but to Jesus for the way. He opens up the way. and he says, I am, I am. Now, when I was coming here this morning, thankfully, Chris sent me the GPS location for this church. So all I had to do was enter it into my iPhone, and bam, there I came. But what if I had put the wrong address in there? What if instead of whatever the address is, I had just put 0005 and then added the street address? Or what if I had put some other address? Would I have found myself here this morning? No. I would have been roaming all around Alhambra looking for a church called Gateway Church, and I would never find it. You know, the reason why I got here this morning was because I actually put the correct address that he sent me into my GPS, and my GPS directed me directly here. God says, I have one GPS address that works. There's only one address that works that leads to God, and that's Jesus. And when you input Jesus into the GPS of God, you always get to God. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I am the global positioning system through God. You cannot get through God, or you can't get to God except through me. There is no other way. I cannot just randomly just put any address I want and expect I'm going to get here. It's not going to happen. There are people, though, who will tell you that when it comes to God, you can put any address you want. All roads lead to God. The truth is that if that is true, then everything that Jesus taught and preached was false. Because here's what Jesus says. There is no other mediator between God and man except Christ Jesus. There is no other way except the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says that I alone will lead you to God. I alone will lead you to life. I alone will lead you to truth. Because he was with God in the beginning. He knows this. The reason why Christ says I'm the way is because it wasn't because he made that up. It's because he's God. He could say he's the way because he's God. God in the flesh, God incarnate. There's a causal connection to Jesus' claims in this passage. This statement is elliptical in its form. What Jesus is really saying is, I am the way because I am the truth, because I am the life. Do you see that? I am the way because I am the truth, and because I am the life. He didn't arrive at that decision just by casting a die somewhere and just saying, this is going to happen, and we're going to see where it falls. He says, I am the way because I am the truth, because I am the life. God has one Messiah. God has one person who speaks for him, and that is Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 14 that Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, that there is no other begotten of the Father except Jesus. He has one son, Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There is salvation in no other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. God himself said that there is no other way. In fact, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, what did the Holy Spirit pronounce that day? This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Only him knows the way. Only him knows the truth. Only him knows the life. And so if you're going to find life this morning, you have to go through Jesus. If you're going to find the truth this morning, you have to go through Jesus. If you're going to find a way to the life that you're seeking, you're going to go through Jesus. No, you're not going to find it anywhere else. Don't add any other address into God's GPS. It will not work. Only Jesus will get you to God. But you say, hey, Pastor Brian, you know what? I'm already a Christian. This doesn't apply to me. Oh, yes, it does. Because you know, the reality this morning is that for many of us, the belief in Jesus is a historic decision. What I mean by that is that we believed upon Jesus at a time in history, maybe 10 years ago or 12 years ago or 50 years ago, or for me, and I cannot believe this, but it's been 29 years for me. Just aged myself right there. But here's the thing, though. I need Jesus today just as badly as I needed him when I was a 17-year-old skinny kid on my knees on that Sunday morning. I'm probably still that skinny kid, but I got gray hair now. You see, guys, we need Jesus in every phase of life. Jesus is not just our Savior when we call on him on that first instant, but our Savior when we need him in every succeeding years and moment of our lives. So when you're here this morning and you're young, you need Jesus. And maybe you're older, you need Jesus. And you've been a Christian for 20 years, yes, you need Jesus. And for 5 years, yes, you need Jesus. We need to be actively involved in letting Jesus shape the way we live and how we live life. He says, I am the way. I need to constantly be the way. I am the truth. I need to constantly be the truth. I am the life. I need to constantly be the life in your life. Otherwise, you are going to find yourself in some very strange places. I heard the story of a man who was searching for his family roots by visiting cemeteries and then reading that, their inscriptions. He found one that said, pause now, stranger, as you pass by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so soon you'll be. But someone had placed a piece of wood next to it, and it read, to follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. Very smart, very clever. Jesus says, I know the way. And he wasn't talking about like a tour guide who's been there before, who's taken the journey, and so he knows the way because he's been there. That is not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, I know the way because I am the way. I know the truth because I am the truth. I know the life because I am the life. That is what Jesus is saying. I am. And so he calls to you this morning and he calls to me from wherever we are in life. Ego eimi. I am. I am. Whatever you're looking for, I am, Jesus says. You're looking for a way, I am. You're looking for truth? I am. You're looking for life? I am. Whatever you're looking for this morning, Jesus says you will never find it until you find it in him. And so what does it mean then for us to mean to follow Jesus and to believe in Jesus? The question for us is Jesus the way that we're following? You know, because there are many ways in this life, even for Christians. When we think we're following Jesus, we could be following something else. So is Jesus the way? Is he the way that we're following this morning? Is he the truth that we believe this morning? And is he the life that we're living? It is easy for us in the material world, so bent on material pleasures, so trapped by material gain, it is easy for us to only see Jesus as somebody to be appropriated when we need him. When my life is in the throes of chaos, I'll call on Jesus. When I need some money, I'll call on Jesus. When somebody gives me a bad diagnosis, I'll call on Jesus. But is Jesus a daily present in our life? Is he shaping every aspect of our lives? Or is he a sugar daddy? Is he the guy that we go through when we have something that we need? Or do we go to him continually, continually? This morning I encourage you to let Jesus be the way and the truth and the life in your life. And so God, I pray this morning that you would take these words, these feeble words, and out of them, God, would you carve a reality for us today in which we find ourselves blown away by the wonder, by the generosity, by the security of who you are, that you are the way, that we must follow you, that you are the truth, that we should believe in you, and that you are the life, that we should live in you. For in you we live and move and have our being. And so would you just encourage and shape hearts today to run to Jesus, to go after Jesus with all of our hearts, to spend time with Jesus, especially during the season, this Passion Week that's about to dawn upon us, that we would see Jesus for who he really is and not for what we have made him. Bless these saints today, I pray, in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.